So I'm Dan Pitts. I'm going to be doing the presentation this morning. So if there's anything that goes wrong, it's not Ty's fault, it's my fault. So what I want to do this morning, talk to you about Bogard 3 and our field experience we had this past year. Bogard 3 is our new insect traded product in cotton. And as I start, I've been encouraged to share this slide with you. So these are some forward-looking statements that may come out of this presentation. So please consider that as you think about this information going forward and use it appropriately. So there'll be these components will be in my presentation this morning. I'll talk about a brief review of Bogard 2. I'll give a brief review of VIT 3 and how it adds a complementary and an additional activity to the current Bogard 2 product. I'll give you our field experience in 2014 in terms of plant protection, germplasm and yield, and finally our release status of this product as we go forward. So to start with, let me borrow this cartoon from John Greenplant, kind of bring you to where we are today with our current BT lines in cotton. And if you think about the intensity of color behind the insect species name represents the potency of that particular protein. Cry1AC was very high potency to pink bollworm, tobacco bollworm, good potency against bollworm, cotton bollworm itself, and less potency to fall armyworm. The introduction of Bogard 2 brought on additional genes for high potency to tobacco bollworm, pink bollworm, good potency to a cotton bollworm and armyworm. And if you think about the size of that circle as being a crude representation of the amount of expression of that particular gene within the plant, Bogard 2 brought with it a high expression and a high potency of several of these products, so you get a 3 to 6-fold increase in the amount of efficacy for tobacco bollworm, cotton bollworm, pink bollworm, with additional good activity against armyworm species. So that's Bogard 2. To bring Bogard 3 into the picture, we added the protein VIP3A. And VIP3A is going to add a complementary and a secondary mode of action to some of these insect pests in cotton. So now we have a high potency against armyworm, increased potency against cotton bollworm, tobacco bollworm, pink bollworm, and so our product now has several different modes of action with high potency to several of these different insect species in cotton. And to kind of talk about how this stuff works in terms of complementary activity, I'm going to use this demonstration. So there's literature to support discrete and specific binding sites for all of the three proteins in Bogard 3. We know this is out there in the literature. We're pretty confident that data is available. And so there's discrete binding sites. There's a lot of amino acid sequence differences that are substantial between these different products. We also have a pretty good data set showing how these things act independently of each other. So with those things in place and also the increased efficacy and increased expression of these products, we think the likelihood of resistance with Bogard 3 will be very minimal. So now I'll switch over to the data from 2014. So we had 11 external field sites we put out strategically across the Cotton Belt in 2014. These were located in various areas across the Cotton Belt, and our intention was to have these in high and low pressure environments so we could distinguish the difference between the germplasm effect and also the trait expression in each location. And I used some algorithms across these in the 174 non-roundup only part of the trial to separate these into high and low pressure environments. So when I used those numbers on the first two evaluation dates, six of these environments came back as high pressure locations, and five of them came back as low pressure locations. And I did this to get a better understanding of what the expression is, what the performance is, and what the germplasm may play in that picture. So these were 11 locations. These were all randomized, complete block trials that were regulated locations. We used native Zea populations for the predominance of our evaluations. One half of each of these trials was designed for an overspray environment so that the overspray would eliminate any lepidopteran feeding in there, so we get a germplasm impact as well as a expression impact. We had two different lines of Bogard 3 that we looked at in these locations to make sure we had the germplasm trait integration peat in place. We had Delta Pine 174 roundup ready as a consistent non-BT check in all these locations. So these evaluations were taken over the course of the key fruiting period at each location. We looked at the early, mid, and late evaluation periods at each of these sites, looking at terminal protection, square protection, bowl protection, and final seed cotton yield from each of these locations. These evaluations were taken and normalized to 25 samples per plot, and that was converted into percent damage at the end of the season. So this is how my slide layout is going to look for the next set of slides. The bold letter there is going to be the main title of the slide there, representing what we're looking at in that particular data set. The top right-hand corner of the screen is going to be whether it's a high-pressure or low-pressure location based on my criteria. The protective oversprays, yes or no, in this environment will be there as well. You see the cluster of bars there, the blue, red, and green. That represents the Roundup Ready, the Bolgard 2, and the Bolgard 3. The plus or minus sign by the letters indicate whether it was oversprayed or not. An additional information piece so you know what's going on that slide. And the letters there, the significance of this was 0.05 LSD level across the board. So most of my efficacy data will be involved high-pressure locations with no oversprays. And to meet these criteria, we had four of these key locations that met these criteria to separate these environments out. And in this environment, we certainly had high damage in the terminal part of the plants. This is certainly expected. We had damage in the Bolgard 2 and Bolgard 3, as we expected, but there was a step difference between Bolgard 2 and Bolgard 3, although these were not significant. But this is a trend you're going to see going forward with the squares, bows, and finally the fine end product of yield. And again, there's no significance in these but except between the untreated check and the traded products. It's amazing how close the square damage was in untreated check compared to the terminal damage, but we had significant square damage in these six locations that had no protective oversprays. And in this particular environment, we saw a significant decrease in damage from both Bolgard 2 and Bolgard 3. And while these look like they're incidental differences in damages, if you take away the untreated check and take the variability that part of the data calls, you can see that there, later in the season, we were seeing significant difference between Bolgard 2 and Bolgard 3, which indicates over the course of the season, as you get an increased pressure and build up populations, that Bolgard 3 is going to be even a more valuable product in terms of square damage. So if you pull all these together, the high pressure location, look at the sprayed and unsprayed environment, what you'll see is that the oversprayed piece in the non-BT portion of the Roundup Ready was certainly available to the grower. But even in the best oversprayed environment, that second bar to the left-hand side there, never achieved the amount of control that was provided by Bolgard 2 by itself, and Bolgard 3 was certainly more protected than Bolgard 2. The supplemental oversprays on the Bolgard 2 and Bolgard 3 both increased activity, reminding us that oversprays are going to be okay with these products. There's an opportunity there for a grower to increase his profitability with properly timed oversprays. But you see that the difference between Bolgard 2 and Bolgard 3 and the increase provided by the oversprays was minimal, indicating that Bolgard 3 still is a very high-performing product, even in these high-intensity environments. So what does this look like in a low-spray environment? And again, these low-spray environments are categorized that way by the first and second evaluation period, looking at the terminal and square damages. So we had five of these locations across the board with no protective oversprays. In these environments, we certainly had damage in the second and third evaluation that breached threshold. But even in these low-spray environments, you see there is a trend for Bolgard 2 to outperform Bolgard 3. So the course of the season, you're going to see this increase in activity consistently, although not significantly in a lot of locations in low-pressure environments. So switching gears, looking at high-pressure environments, these are looking at damaged bowls with no protective oversprays. Again, the same trend that you saw with the square evaluations were a significant reduction in damage between Bolgard 2 and Bolgard 3 in these high-pressure environments. You take the untreated check and do the evaluations. In that aspect, you see there is a significant difference between Bolgard 2 and Bolgard 3 in unsprayed high-pressure environments. Again, revealing the appreciated value of Bolgard 3 in these intense pressure locations. So again, if you look at the overspray portion, the high-pressure locations versus non-oversprayed, you do see an advantage with the overspray for the Roundup-ready portion of the trial. It sometimes reached the level of Bolgard 2, but certainly not Bolgard 3 in terms of overall protection for the grower. A Bolgard 2 did have some increase in activity with an overspray, and most of these were diamized, done on a threshold probably three or four times during the course of the season. Where Bolgard 3 did show some advantage with an overspray of a diamide product, but certainly not as high as it was in Bolgard 2. Again, reflecting the high potency of the Bolgard 3 product against these heliothine pests. So I want to show you a couple of locations here of extreme pressure. This is what I would call stupid pressure. This was with Greg Pososki outside of Houston, Texas. I walked this trial the second week of August, and the untreated check was totally denuded of any fruit. So this is one of those disaster situations that entomologists love to work in, and this is a pretty neat environment. But in this particular environment with Greg, we had 100% fruit loss in every one of the non-BT portions of this trial. I mean, it was phenomenal. We had some damage in the first evaluation of Bolgard 2. We had very uncomfortably high damage in Bolgard 2 to second and third evaluation period. Now, this is not totally unheard of, particularly in released environments where you have a lot of predators removed, but this was some concern. But what's very fascinating here, even this intense environment, Bolgard 3 performed very well. This is certainly one of the environments I think you would have a grower advantage of an overspray at certain timings, but it does show the value of Bolgard 3 in intense environments. And while I'm looking at this trial, we did a collection mid and late season looking at the collection of Isaiah come off these trials. We brought them in at the lab. There's extremely high fitness copies. We were able to get a colony off of this. But the colony from the field was very susceptible. In fact, it was more susceptible than the lab colony. So this is not a resistance event going on based on what we can do from our lab assays, but it is a population-driven expression damage issue that went on in this field. So if you look at our three of our highest pressure locations from our cooperators, this one with Greg Wasoski, one with Guthrie Wren in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and Jeff Gore in Mississippi, we see the same trends here, extremely high pressure in the untreated check, a significant difference between Bogart 2 and Bogart 3 in two of the three locations. In Jeff's location, there wasn't a significant breakthrough through Bogart 2 or Bogart 3. There seemed to be a lot of variability in the untreated check in this particular one. But you can see, even in these untreated environments, Bogart 3 has held up very well in terms of overall protection. Jeff was able to establish a artificial inoculated fall armyworm population in his trial. Although this is not really hard field data, it does give an indication of what we can expect with Bogart 3 compared to Bogart 2. These were significant differences in damage in terms of overall protection between Bogart 2 and Bogart 3. We think this relate pretty readily to what you'll see in the field going forward. So while these traits are very important and going to be very advantageous to the grower, we know that yield is going to be a big driver when growers select these varieties. This is a trial conducted with Ron Smith down at Fairhope, Alabama, a really nice trial that showed good yield response and good insect efficacy data. And so we had two different varieties of Bogart 3 we looked at in these trials. One was a 14R435B3XF, which means it's a dicamba product, and we compared that with the Delta Pine 1133. We also had 14R440 of Bogart 3 by dicamba product. We compared with Delta Pine 1137, which is a commercially available line, trying to make sure that there was no yield drag or any penalty cost putting all these traits in these lines. And so we had three locations with the 435 product that were in an unsprayed environment, low pressure, again, eliminating all the worm probabilities in that trial. And the yield between the 435 and 1133 were almost identical. They were certainly not significant in these three locations. We had one location with Philip Roberts that had low pressure in an oversprayed environment, looking at the product 1440 versus 1137. Again, these were almost identical yields across the course of the season. This is a replicated trial, so these were non-significant. So what that tells us, this is very good news. And if you kind of close your eyes and pool these together, you'll see that the yield is pretty equivalent across the Bogart 2, Bogart 3 versus 174 lines in non-insect exposed environments, which is a good thing because now we're looking at a very high-performing product. We have six traits in there. We got three insect traits. We have Liberty. We have glyphosate. Now we have dicamba. So we have six-traited product that has not shown a yield disadvantage that we saw sometimes in the early introductions of the new traited lines. So in summary, Bogart 3 is going to have Cry1AC, Cry2EB, plus VIP3A in it. It's going to be complementary activity between the VIP products and the Cry1A and 2AB products. We'll have increased product durability because of multiple modes of action and different traits, different expressions of these different traits. We're going to see incremental value in low-pressure environments. Now, it's going to be risky to decide if your environment's low or high pressure early season, but it will show incremental value there. In a significant value increase in high pressure environments. So you know if you have that high pressure environment, it will be significant over the course of the season. We also have yield parity with commercial lines. Now in terms of when it's going to be released, we have full U.S. regulatory approval right now for Bogart 3 in the United States. We're waiting on ex-U.S. approval for potential exports to make sure this can go outside markets. So we're waiting for that. It should come any day now. For 2015, we're planning some large plot field trials. Almost bowl size, module size, regulated, stewarded type trials to make sure we can prove this concept in a large plot environment. We'll have limited introduction in 2016. When that product comes to market, it will be a Bogart 3 plus Roundup Ready plus glyphosate tolerance plus glufosinate tolerance and dicamba tolerance. So, all right, that's all I have, Nick, unless you guys have any questions. Well, So the question from Walt is, in 2010, we had extremely high pressure in South Carolina. We saw about 20% damage in Bogart 3 in those environments with Jeremy Green's trial at Blackville, South Carolina. We saw 40% there in Wallace, Texas this past year. Walt, that threw a flag up in my mind, but we did the evaluation to make sure there's not resistance coming through. And we think there was such an intense population. This population there started in May, and some of you guys may be from that part of Texas. It started in May and never slowed down through September. And it was to the point that moths were flying in your face. So I think it's still a population issue there, that maybe they're doing some cannibalism as they grow and get through these different sites as they grow forward. But we're going to do another evaluation there to make sure next year nothing's going through. We did plant expression, gene checks, and they all came back positive. Yeah. Is the trait?
The treatment, is it to vary in different parts of the United States, or you apply the same amount of human modification
for the cover space? For the cover sprays?
Yes.
Yeah, the question from Brazil was, are we using the same cover sprays in all these different locations? And the answer is, for the most of the locations, it was a diamide product. There was one location, I think, that put out a pyrethra because it had stink bugs come through, but for the most part, it was the highest rated product they could use to eliminate lip pressure. And again, that was to evaluate the germplasm. So it was a very high potency product they put out on all the trials.
We need to keep this.
Okay.
Thank you, Dan.